Welcome to TYT. I'm Anna Kasparian. Joining me today is Michael Schorr and Mark Thompson. My voice is not joining me yet. Hopefully it'll get back to me next week.
Sounds good.
It's coming back or it's starting out?
In like
it's
a Kim Carnes way. Do you know who Kim Carnes is?
No, I don't know who that is.
Bart knows who Kim Carnes is. Kim Carnes sang a song called Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which you've probably heard. She had this great raspy voice.
Okay, all right, I'll take it.
It's kind of sexy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jake told me that my voice is either, that there are two camps in the audience. The people who are insanely irritated by hearing my voice right now, and then the people who are turned on by it. So I don't know what the percentages are, but I'm sorry if you don't like it. Hopefully my voice will go back to normal soon. All right, so we have so much news to get to. Obviously in the Trump era, there are several huge news stories in every single news cycle. Later on in the show, we will get to the details about what's going on with tax cuts for the wealthy. The House has managed to pass their version of that legislation, and I will tell you what that legislation includes. And then further along in the hour, we'll also talk about one sheriff in Texas who was outraged over a sticker, an anti-Trump sticker someone had on the back of their car. What action did this cop take against the citizen? I'll let you know later on in the show. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
I haven't been here for a while, Anna, so I don't know how ready I am.
You're always ready. You're Michael Schorr. You're ready with like not only knowledge about what's going on right now, but like crazy historical information that no one else would know.
Yeah,
like
he's forgotten more about politics than Oliver knows.
Just incredible.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right. Unfortunately, we start off with some pretty devastating news. Democratic Senator Al Franken has been accused of sexual assault by a reporter, a radio reporter by the name of Leanne Tweeden. Just full disclosure, Leanne Tweeden is someone who was on the show that I used to host for the network, The Point. She came on a regular basis, and I know her personally. But I didn't know this story until now, because today was the first time that she spoke about her experience with Al Franken back in 2007. Now, she shared her account in a published article for ABC, and she accused him of kissing and groping her without consent during a 2006 USO tour of the Middle East before he took public office. So I apologize, it was 2006, not 2007. She wrote that it occurred in December of 2006, not long before Christmas, when she was a performer for the tour alongside Mr. Franken, then a well-known comedian. Now, there were two components of her accusations that really stood out to me and to most people. The first accusation is what he did to her, allegedly did to her physically. According to Ms. Tweeden's account, Mr. Franken wrote a body script that included a kiss for the two to perform on stage. When it came time to rehearse the skit, she wrote, Mr. Franken insisted on kissing despite her protestations. So she didn't want to kiss, and then he went for it, and she claims that he grabbed her in the back of the neck and tried to make it happen, but she pushed him off. She says, I immediately pushed him away with both my hands against his chest and told him if he ever did that to me again, I wouldn't be so nice about it next time. I walked away. All I could think about was getting to a bathroom as fast as possible to rinse the taste of him out of my mouth. I felt disgusted and violated. Now, Al Franken has released two statements in response to these allegations. The first statement was very brief. He wrote, I certainly don't remember the rehearsal for the skit in the same way, but I send my sincerest apologies to Leanne. As to the photo, it was clearly intended to be funny, but wasn't. I shouldn't have done it. So that gets to the second part of the allegation, and this is where she has pretty damning evidence. Let's go to graphic number three, please. She shared this photo of the tour that she was speaking of. She had fallen asleep because she had just returned from a tour in Afghanistan. She was a member of the military, she is a veteran. And while she was asleep, Franken posed in this way for the photo. And it's degrading, it's disgusting. And Franken later released a longer statement addressing that component of the allegations. So let me go ahead and read that to you right now. He says, I don't know what was in my head when I took that picture, and it doesn't matter. There's no excuse. I look at it now and I feel disgusted with myself. It isn't funny, it's completely inappropriate. It's obvious how Leanne would feel violated by that picture. And what's more, I can see how millions of other women would feel violated by it. Women who have had similar experiences in their own lives. Women who fear having those experiences. Women who look up to me. Women who have counted on me. And the truth is, what people think of me in light of this is far less important than what people think of women who continue to come forward to tell their stories. They deserve to be heard and believed, and they deserve to know that I am their ally and supporter. I have let them down, and I am committed to making it up to them. So we have some video of Leanne Tweeden speaking to Jake Tapper. We'll get to that in just a minute, but I kind of want to open it up to you guys and hear your thoughts.
We were talking about this earlier today, and
so we've covered it.
It's a problem because there is a spectrum. It seems there's there are different gradations of sexual misconduct. So the apology, as it reads, you really don't know how bad the sexual misconduct was, right? It was a pretty powerful apology, and I, as a man, feel sort of awkward even commenting or judging the gradations. I can certainly say this is different than stalking a 14-year-old at a mall and then calling her at a high school and trying to ask her out on a date when you're in your 30s. I mean, I can definitely separate these two things, but I guess what I'm trying to get at is this is wrong, but with all of these allegations coming forward, I'm having trouble ordering them all and assigning a priority to how bad each one is. I'm not excusing this at all. I'm simply trying to order it because they're all getting jumbled together.
I get what you mean. And look, I think most rational people know that there's a difference between, you know, outright sexual assault or pedophilia. And, you know, what happened to Leanne Tweeden is horrible, and she felt violated and degraded. And I think most women would feel like that. No one has any right to put their hands on anyone else without consent. And taking that degrading picture was, you know, beyond offensive and degrading. However, look, I think that all women are different. All women respond to different, you know, different types of assault or different types of harassment in various ways. And so what might be considered not a big deal if it's an ass grab to one woman might end up, you know, really making another woman feel incredibly unsafe or, you know, degraded, whatever it is. And so I hate getting into these discussions about what's worse, but I think what's more important to focus on is this broader discussion about this sense of entitlement that all of these perpetrators have had, right? Like, I think that's like the one constant among all of them.
The power thing
and the abuse of power and this sense of entitlement, the sense of, yeah, I'm gonna do this and I'm not worried about any consequences.
Yeah.
And think about this, this happened in 2006. There never were any consequences. He went on to be a senator, he went on to live his life, and this was something that she quietly lived with behind the scenes for all this time. And it's because she felt that she couldn't come forward because people were gonna attack her. And by the way, that has happened. And she talks about that with Jake Tapper. Now, I wanna go to her videos, video number two. She talks about why, in a lot of cases, women don't come forward. Decades will go by and they will just remain quiet. Take a look.
I was nervous to come out about it. This doesn't make me feel good. Everybody goes, oh, you're so strong, you're gonna feel so great talking about it. I still have a knot in my stomach. This is, you know, this isn't some like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do it and I feel great about it.
It's difficult. You know, it's difficult to do.
It is hard. Why do you think there are people that haven't talked? There's still a lot of people that haven't told their stories. And there, you know, in the case of Roy Moore, there are people that 40 years later that are reluctantly coming out about it. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's humiliating. There are still people I've looked on Twitter that are still blaming me for it. I'm like, you look at the picture, I'm asleep, and they're still, somehow it's my fault.
Right.
Really? Okay. Al Franken has come out and apologized and said, you know what, that was in poor taste. I thought it was funny, and it's still my fault.
Well,
that's
okay.
Why women don't come out.
Well, I mean, first of all, the biggest mistake she's made, the only mistake she's made, is going on Twitter. She should not go on Twitter because she's only going to get that kind of criticism. I think, you know, the attention grabbing thing here is the photograph, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got, to me, that obfuscates the real the if true, disgusting thing that Franken did, which was right. push himself on. You have to remember, too, Al Franken in 2006 was months before he even announced his candidacy for Senate. He'd been in a writer's room at Saturday Night Live, and we've all read books or at least articles about what that life was like for a very long time. He was a goofball, and I didn't think he was that funny ever until he wrote a book, which was funny. So the photograph of him going like this, as stupid as that is and as offensive as that is, that's probably the goofball comedian thing that he's prone to doing. And I think it really takes the story in a different direction, because it's not just that. It's that he forced himself upon a woman mm-hmm. in that situation when it didn't have to happen. And if that's true, and listen, the other thing that happens with these stories, and I don't know anything about Franken, but every single time this happens, there are other accusers who follow. There are other stories, other anecdotes. It hasn't happened yet with Franken, and it may tomorrow, it may tonight, it may with somebody else. And we forget about Franken because this is happening in such rapid fire. But I think that what people have to, you know, keep hold of with this Franken thing is what is he violated this woman, and not in that stupid photograph, which was stupid to take. And he did violate her, but I mean, I just think the context of Al Franken, a comedian, is very different than Al Franken, a man in a position of power who was a comedian with a younger performer violating her womanhood, violating everything about her. So I just think that the picture, to me, serves as a distraction to what the real offense was.
Yeah, I have a different take on the picture.
Yeah, which you're probably right about, because I think I might be in a minority about this. But I just think the context of a comedian who I never found funny doing something that was really not funny is that.
And that's a little bit of the, you know, explanation that he got at in his longer statement.
Did he talk about it? Yeah, he did.
So I want to be clear. When I read the longer statement, that wasn't the full statement. You should read the full statement for yourself. But he does get into how, you know, at the time he thought this was funny. It was like a comedy thing. But look, think about, I don't care if you're a comedian, because think about what this really communicates to a woman like Leanne Tweeden, or women in general. She had literally gotten back from a tour in Afghanistan. She's wearing her military gear, okay? And he poses in a picture where he's degrading her by pretending like he's grabbing her breast while she's asleep. By the way, she didn't know the picture was being taken. She didn't even find out about it until much later.
It's inexcusable.
It is inexcusable.
It's inexcusable. And I just mean that I don't want it to distract from what he actually did.
No, that I agree with you on, because you know, the physical assault is a serious accusation. And since there's proof in the form of a photo of the second part of the allegation.
It makes the first part more believable.
And that's what Michael's saying, that's essentially stealing the spotlight on this story. And we can rank the two things. I mean, the sexual assault or the physical assault, better put, that I think ranks worse. It's sophomoric. It's like a frat house thing.
Right.
She's asleep and you're going, he's, you know, leaning into the picture. It was clearly done in that comic spirit for him, but it didn't pass the litmus test of comedy as we've seen.
By the way, none of his stuff really did. When he was on Saturday Night Live, you remember, I didn't think he was that funny.
So, this was
exactly like in line with his humor.
I disagree. I think Al Franken, and here's why it matters to us, because he was a voice he was a clear voice on Capitol Hill as he segued into the Democratic Party.
For sure.
And so it hurts and kind of smarts on that level as well. But whether it was funny or not,
that
wasn't funny, and it doesn't stand the test of time.
Yes, it does not stand the test of time. Finally, I just want to go to another video of Leanne Tweeden speaking to Jake Tapper. She was asked if she accepts his apology, and I thought her answer was interesting. Take a look.
Do you accept his apology?
I do. And you know, the one that came out this morning, I accepted that one too. It was very short and very brief. My initial reaction was, it sounded like a staffer put that out hastily, you know, which maybe could have been the truth, you know, to get it out quickly, because when it hit, it was, you know, it went viral and it was everywhere. But that one did seem heartfelt, and I believe it, and I believe him, you know, and I honestly do believe him. And, you know, I wasn't waiting for an apology from him, but I gladly accept it. And thank you, Senator Franken.
Do you want him to call you?
Sure.
That last question, I know what he meant by that last question.
But it did sound weird.
It was so weird.
It sounded really weird.
It sounded
so
weird.
So, would you like a second date?
Yeah. Right, would you like him to call you? Anyway.
And the whole dynamic is fascinating because we haven't seen the accuser asked that. These accusers asked about this, and going back to the photo, also, the more evidence you have of something like this, the more believable the crux of the story is. So,
absolutely.
If you have that goofy thing that he thought he was being goofy about, that photo, even if it isn't the offense, it makes the offense certainly seem more credible.
Absolutely,
you know? And I think that's an important.
Although, again, I see the two so differently. I don't know that that really is true. I see one as a wah wah, and it really being a stupid idea, but in that category. And then the other is a guy trying to take a shot or something, like a really.
No, I know, but what I mean is that you see that there's this sort of this line of thinking in this man's head at that time. That could lead you to believe that he would have done that. Yeah. He sexualizes this woman.
So one other thing that I want to get to before we go to break, because this is also an important component to the story. Al Franken took responsibility and apologized immediately. And that's what he should do. And I'm glad that he apologized. But you don't see the same type of behavior from someone like Roy Moore, who remains defiant. He has now been accused by several women who said that, you know, they were preyed upon when they were teenagers. He was banned from a mall. He was banned from a YMCA because he was known to go to those places looking for teen girls that he could prey on. And I mean, there are people in Alabama who knew him and knew about this open secret, talking to the media. These are not liberals. These are not progressives. These are Trump supporting Alabamans that, did I say that right? Alabamans?
Yeah. Alabamians.
Alabamians, yes.
I would have accepted the way she said it.
Well, you probably can accept, but they say Alabamian. Or
anyway. Okay. Anyway.
But,
doesn't matter.
So they're coming
Trump
forward.
Supporting.
And they're talking about, you know, what they experienced. And Roy Moore, here's what he tweeted about the Franken story today that I thought was amazing. Al Franken admits guilt after photographic evidence of his abuse surfaces. Mitch, meaning Mitch McConnell, let's investigate. Which, by the way, to Mitch McConnell's credit, he did want to do an ethics investigation into Al Franken. And then he says, in Alabama, zero evidence, allegations 100% rejected. By the way, 100% rejected by whom? By you. You're the only person who rejects them.
Right.
And then Mitch McConnell, again, to his credit, says that Moore must quit immediately or be expelled. So he's complaining that Mitch McConnell is treating him similarly to how he's treating Al Franken.
Well, yeah. Can I have that for a second?
Sure.
Okay, first of all, Al Franken is a U.S. senator. There is a process by which you go through. Roy Moore is not. Mm-hmm. So for him to say that Roy Moore should not be a candidate, should not stand, should drop out, should be expelled, all of those things, he has a right to say. He's a citizen. Al Franken has to go through this process if the process is to begin. It's one that Franken wants to go through, that Chuck Schumer said he should go through. I'm going to challenge you on one of the things you said. To his credit, he said, let's investigate.
Mm-hmm.
In moments after Al Franken had this allegation, Mitch McConnell said, let's investigate.
Mm-hmm.
When we knew about 15 women who accused candidate Donald Trump of sexual harassment, sexual abuse, when we saw a tape where he said, grab him by the pussy, Mitch McConnell said nothing.
I will totally concede, and I agree with you 100%.
And Mitch McConnell allowed his wife to serve in the cabinet of this man. So I think there's a spinelessness about Mitch McConnell in this case that is inexcusable. That said, the Roy Moore remark about 100% unbelievable, that 100% refuted, because people seem to be glomming onto this stuff in a
right.
big way.
And you know? More and more accusations came out today. So they will continue, and we'll see what happens with Roy Moore. But he remains defiant, refuses to pull out of the Senate race in Alabama.
It looks more and it looks.
More
greater
and
greater, like
yeah.
Doug Jones will be the senator from Alabama. The polling has been high. As a matter of fact, there was a poll today, which I actually don't believe, that showed that Barack Obama is more popular in Alabama than Roy Moore is, which is astonishing to me.
It's astonishing that it would be astonishing. Yeah.
Right, well, that's
like
true.
Child molester.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Pedophilia or Barack Obama.
Right.
21 seconds I want. It's important for the Democratic Party here.
Mm-hmm.
All these senators have come out and criticized Al Franken. The Democrats have to take the right stand on this issue. And if it's true and these things happened, there should be no patience for Al Franken in this case because of the brand. And I think, and I said this to Mark earlier, I think this guarantees, and the series of allegations should guarantee that a woman is on the ticket in 2020, either at the top or the bottom of the ticket, because I think the Democrats can own this issue and can get women voters to understand. And I'm not apologizing that it's politics, because he's a senator and this is politics and we're talking about elections. They should own this and show women that they are the party that's standing up to it, while you see these Republicans coddling this pedophile in Alabama, this accused pedophile in Alabama. So I think it's an opportunity too, and they can sacrifice Al Franken's Senate seat. He's a good senator with good voting record and all of that, but he can easily be replaced by another Democrat. And I pointed this out earlier too, is that Keith Ellison is a congressman from Minnesota, a possibility for their governor, Mark Dayton, a former senator, to appoint to the Senate seat should Al Franken resign, which we're not even close to having happen. And then if Roy Moore wins and Keith Ellison is the senator, Roy Moore is serving with a Muslim. So there's that.
Wow, that's you really thought all this through. But yeah, I mean, look, I don't blame you to get into the political possibilities. I think that, you know, that's what a lot of people who are in the political world are concerned about. But, you know, my take is the same regardless of political ideology. I don't care what the impact is going to be for any party. If this person is proven to be a predator, out. I don't care. I don't care if it's a Democrat. Don't care if it's a Republican. Doesn't matter to me. Just be a decent human being and, you know, take care of people around you. Protect the people around you. Protect your constituents.
But again, the word predator is radioactive. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we can assign predator. I'm really asking, you know, Anna, you are sort of my beacon, especially when it comes to this sort of female view. Because I'm thinking maybe as a male, I've just been roughed up or my worldview is different. But the word predator is so toxic. Would I assign it to Al Franken and Roy Moore? Would I assign it to Weiner? You know, Anthony Weiner, is he a predator? I mean, I don't know where the word predator is appropriately used.
And is he a predator? I'll add to Mark's question. If this is all Al Franken did in his career of predation, is he a predator for having done this in 2006 before he was a senator, when he was a husband, when he should have been more responsible, when he took advantage
of it? I really don't care about the time.
I'm just saying what his position was and what his profession was. I was just putting it in. He was a married man. He was a professional. He was in a position of power.
Yes.
He was with somebody who was far younger than him and probably looked up to him because of the kind of thing that they were doing there for the USO. I'm wondering if that is enough to say get out of the Senate now. I mean, you know, if this is what he, if the buck stops right here.
Yeah, that's a tough question, and I feel uncomfortable answering it right now. But what I will say is that anyone who feels entitled to put their hands on anyone else and try to force physical contact, whether it's a kiss or whatever, like it's. That's serious to me, right? Oh. And so I get, I get what you're saying. It's different from someone penetrating someone else. I get that, right? But it doesn't take away from the fact that a woman still feels. It's a huge violation. And so I don't want to, and I know you don't mean to do that, but I want to make sure that you guys all know that, you know, there's no minimizing that. Okay.
Actually, the last point I was going to make was just again to remind everybody. I mean, the hypocrisy, the naked hypocrisy here on the part of these politicians is remarkable to me. Yeah. Because I, a bit like Anna, I don't really give a shit one way or the other. You know what? Of party loyalty. I mean, there's right and there's wrong. And the guy who's in the White House now has been so wrong on just this issue.
Yeah.
He is, I would think, more in the category of a sexual predator.
Well, he's never even said a single thing about Roy Moore and all of these. He has still yet released. I mean, he loves to tweet. He's like up at 2-3 in the morning tweeting a storm, right?
Yeah.
About nonsense. He'll tweet about, you know, what he's watching on cable news at that moment, but he won't release a single statement about all these allegations against Roy Moore. I think that, you know, his silence. It says a lot.
A ton. And
yeah.
and to Democrats, to your credit, Mark, I mean, to their credit, Mark, they, seconds after this came out, a mass of senators said, this is reprehensible, this is unacceptable, if this is true, it has to be dealt with. There are still Republican senators who haven't said how they feel about Roy Moore.
I know.
There's Robert Aderholt and there's Mo Brooks. These are congressmen from Alabama.
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul, but exactly. people saying that, no, I think he should be there. It'd be better than having a Democrat there about Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will shift the focus to policy news. We'll tell you about what the House just passed when it comes to tax cuts for the wealthy. Come right back. Hey everyone, welcome back to TYT. Anna, Michael, and Mark with you. Just a few updates on what's going on in the network in case you want to catch some of our programming. There will be a post game for members tonight. I apologize to the members regarding yesterday's post game. There were some issues, unfortunately, but we will make it up to you with a great post game show tonight. So make sure you check it out. Also, if you were really excited about the return of Old School, you don't have to wait any longer. Yesterday's show is available right now. If you are a member, just go to tytnetwork.com/os. And it was hosted by Cenk, Ben Mankiewicz, Steve-O, and Mark Thompson.
It was a Hall of Famer, if I can say that.
Yeah, I was sorry to have missed that one.
The only thing missing was Michael Short.
Aww. Yeah.
But you talked about my road rage.
We did speak of Michael Short.
You have road rage?
Yeah, oh my God, you have to listen to Old School. Or watch Old School.
I actually really love Old School, so I will. Okay, and a few TYT lives for you. Nick Gaming Pegasus says, "Epic politics, man, enough said."
Thanks.
I like it.
Agreed.
And Gabby Morita, well, I guess somebody's not running for president in 2020. Bye-bye, Al Franken. Yeah, there were reports that he was thinking about running.
Although the last guy, did a lot worse. At least he apologized and she accepted the apology. The last guy, Trump.
You know, all of this happened in hours, too. I mean, that's the thing. It accepted the accusation, the acknowledgement, the apology, the don't resign, the I accept his apology. She said doesn't want him to resign. It's kind of a remarkable thing when you look at what happened on the other side.
That's true. And what I also find interesting is we're now living in this culture where apologies are looked at as weakness. And you have someone like Trump who refuses to ever take responsibility, to ever apologize. Someone like Roy Moore refuses to take responsibility, refuses to apologize. And people will support them more for it. Whereas apologizing is the right thing to do if what you did was wrong, right? Be a decent person, but society looks at it as a weakness. And I think it's pathetic.
That's fairly new in the culture too.
It
used to be if somebody gets pretty much thrown into the trash heap as a result of stuff that they've done, and then slowly they do that, they may go to rehab or they may do that to sort of sit down with themselves, and then they come forward and they reconstitute within a big apology, a big showy apology. You've seen it particularly with all the preachers who were caught with
Jim Baker.
Yeah, Jim Baker and Jerry, who's the other guy who was crying? Jimmy Swaggart. And these are guys who are like just at the bottom of their lives. And so they go on with a high profile apology, and then what happens? They're lifted up, they're accepted. But Anna is so right. Something has happened in the culture where that sort of public apology is viewed as weakness, and the stonewalling it and saying, no, it's wrong. Prove it, or in Trump's case, ignoring it. 17 women came forward, I think the number 17, and talked about him groping and inappropriately touching them.
Nothing.
No acknowledgement in the least.
And then he's president.
I know. Let's, for the love of God, let's talk about policy, which is just as depressing, but we should discuss it. All right. The House of Representatives has already passed its version of what they'll call tax reform, but in reality, it is a $1.5 trillion cut in taxes for the wealthy. Now, they still have a long way to go in terms of enacting a law that would cut these taxes. Obviously, the Senate needs to pass its own version and they need to reconcile the differences there. However, here's what we know so far about the House version of the bill that, again, passed by a vote of 227-205. Now, 13 Republicans did vote against it, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Now, Republicans do seek to enact the $1.5 trillion in tax cuts for businesses and individuals and deliver the first major legislative achievement of President Trump's tenure. They are hoping that this will be something that can come to a vote in Congress before Christmas, so after Thanksgiving. Now, Senator Ron Wyden, who is a Democrat, had a really great quote that I wanted to share with you before I get into more of the details. Wyden says that when you're reaching for the cranberry sauce, Republicans are going to be reaching for your pocketbooks to give handouts to multinational corporations. And he is not wrong, okay? This proposal cuts the corporate tax rate to 20% from 35%. And remember, just come to me real quick. The corporate tax rate as it is not really 35%. When you consider the corporate tax loopholes, it's somewhere around 17%, right? So from what I've seen, there is very little emphasis, if any emphasis at all, on doing away with those loopholes or those deductions. But there is a great deal of emphasis regarding lowering the tax rate for these corporations. It also collapses the number of tax brackets from 7 to 4. It switches the United States to an international tax system that is more in line with the rest of the world, and it also eliminates or scales back many popular deductions. Pay close attention to this, guys, including one for state and local taxes paid. So for those of you who don't live in a state that has state taxes or you know, certain local taxes, or those local taxes are super low and you're not worried about it, people living in high tax states like California or New York will be able to deduct those state taxes when they file for their returns, right? Or when they file their taxes. And that is one of the few deductions, very few deductions, that the middle class gets to take any advantage of, right? Yeah. And they want to do away with that. Now, that is the reason why 13 Republicans actually voted against the House version of this bill.
Because in New York, a big part of the New York delegation.
Yes, the New York delegation, people in lawmakers in New Jersey and New York were like, no, this is going to hurt my constituents. I am not signing on to this.
You know, this is going to have a hard time in the Senate, I mean, the political reality, but something's going to happen. Wherever the U.S. senators are right now that are not talking about Al Franken, they're talking about this, and they're going to get, they want some kind of a deal. They want something. They want to be able to vote on something before Thanksgiving. They can go back for the holidays and say, we got this. So what the House sent over is not going to look like it when it comes out of the Senate, but it's going to definitely get something in there, is definitely going to come out of the Senate, and probably, I'm guessing, will tonight or tomorrow. Tonight, I think, is when they're going to bet.
So something that comes out of it will likely be then be voted upon in the Senate and passed, you're saying? You're saying they're going to hammer out something that they will be able to
something
pass?
Something that they'll be able to pass.
Yeah, what's the other?
Something that they'll be able to pass. And then I would imagine the rest of it, they would come back after Thanksgiving, and you'll have votes in the Senate for a week straight. Just vote. I think it's just going to be power votes.
So another thing that I wanted to make sure you guys were aware of is, you know, they'll try to sell this to you as a tax cut for everyone, right? So the middle class, you guys are going to get major tax cuts. That is not true. In fact, some of these personal deductions that people can take, components of this that could potentially give you a little bit of a tax cut would sunset in 10 years. So in 10 years, your taxes would actually go up astronomically. But even in the period of time between, your taxes are likely to go up as well. So let me explain that to you. And by the way, that's based on the House's version as it stands right now. You're right, Michael, things could change. We don't know how they'll change, but here's what we know. The Joint Committee on Taxation. Now, this is a focus on the Senate's version. We talked about the Senate's version on yesterday's show. The Joint Committee on Taxation projected that Americans earning $30,000 or less would see their taxes increase beginning in 2021 if the Senate bill becomes law. And that's because certain things would sunset or they would essentially expire in 10 years that would help the middle class maybe save a little bit of money in taxes. The committee also projected that Americans earning $75,000 or less, that's the middle class, would face large tax increases in 2027 after individual tax cuts expire. So that's where we are right now. There again is a lot of emphasis on helping out multinational corporations, lowering the tax rate for these corporations. Not a lot of emphasis on helping the little guy, but when they do their marketing, they make it seem like it's the other way around.
And that's what they do so effectively. They market this as a middle class tax cut. And we were mentioning on the show, I think last week, that now their version of the middle class is $450,000 a year. I mean, that's right. If you're middle class and that's your wage, God. Well, then you probably will get a tax
cut. And that's
cut.
What so many, that's why so many people who hear the rhetoric of these bills say that middle class is the wrong moniker to use now, that they should call it working class, because middle class doesn't resonate the same way it did. And if you're out to help the middle class, you're helping wealthier people because of what the Republicans are doing. So to call it the working class might be a better way forward.
And the working class will be orphaned by this. And then, right. as Anna says, this corporate tax break is huge. And the Paradise Papers, you know, those documents that were leaked and then showed that all these corporations are parking tremendous amounts of money offshore, and they're achieving great tax break. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of tax break. We're talking about billions of dollars of tax breaks. So those are the companies that need an additional tax break. The whole thing's absurd.
All you've ever done was lose money offshore.
Right? Yeah, it's crazy. And I think you're right, Michael. I think something will come out of this. I think that they are desperate to make a deal. And keep in mind, like, I think that it's mostly Republicans, yes, that want to cut taxes. But there are Democrats on board as well. And right now, I mean, the Senate doesn't need much when right. it comes to people who are willing to sign on to tax cuts.
You know, and previewing a Republican administration, a Republican president, the Republican Congress, if this is all they get going into Thanksgiving, and I know this is serious and I know this is big, but if you rewind to before the summer, you know, oh my God, this is what they're going to do to Obamacare, this is what they're going to do on taxes, what they're going to do to the Iran nuclear deal, all of these things. And this is all they go home with is a bite from a bill that came out at the last minute before the holidays. It has to be seen, even though the legislation itself is terrible, that the political reality is that it has to be seen as something of a victory by the opposition party in Congress to only have this be what came out. And I know that sounds terrible because it's not something that people want. And tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans is abhorrent to so many people. But you knew that's what was going to happen on Inauguration Day. And it's been they played pretty good defense, I have to say.
Ugh. Yeah, and with that said, and of course that's true, that, you know, flying under the banner of so much that they wanted to do, as Michael has just enumerated, they really haven't been able to get a lot of things done. But that said, he has been able to get done, Donald Trump, with executive order.
Oh,
he's been
course.
Able to unwind a bunch of stuff.
No, I'm talking about the Congress.
Absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely. The legislative agenda, though, has not been successful.
Yeah. You're right. All right, one more story before we go to break. It has been reported that the government plans on allowing individuals who do some forms of trophy hunting in Zimbabwe and Zambia to come back with their trophy. Now, this has to do with elephants specifically, and the government has not announced this policy officially. However, this became apparent when an organization that wants to essentially deregulate some hunting abroad announced it to some of their fans and volunteers. So the Trump administration does plan to allow hunters to bring trophies of elephants they killed in Zimbabwe and Zambia back to the United States, reversing a ban put in place by the Obama administration back in 2014. Now, there was a good reason why the Obama administration put that ban in place. At that time, it was reported that the elephant population had decreased significantly. It was listed as an endangered species. In fact, still listed as endangered. The permits will apply to elephants hunted. I'm sorry, let's go to graphic 17. So even though these elephants are listed as endangered under the Endangered Species Act, a provision in the act allows the government to give permits to import such trophies if there is evidence that the hunting benefits conservation for that species. So I want to be absolutely clear about something. Look, I don't understand the appeal of this hunting. I don't understand the appeal of hunting, period, right? But my opinion or my emotions about it are not relevant. What is relevant is whether or not there are ever any cases where hunting could help raise money for conservation efforts, and that does happen. So that's not just a lame talking point. You know, there could be cases where there's a particular animal that's extremely old or is now being harmful to the other animals, and so they will allow a permit to hunt that animal down, and then that person can take that animal's head or something as a trophy, and then the money that they pay to get that permit goes toward conservation efforts. So I want to give the full story. But at the same time, I mean, when you look at the numbers of these elephants and you also consider some of the corruption happening in these countries and sometimes how they lie about certain numbers, it makes you worry. So the permits will apply to elephants hunted in Zimbabwe from January 21st to 2016 to December 31st, 2018, and elephants hunted in Zambia during 2016, 2017, and 2018 for applications that meet all other applicable requirements. Now, the savannah elephant populations declined significantly, 30% across 18 countries in Africa from 2007 to 2014, which is why in 2014 Obama passed that regulation. Now, that put their remaining numbers at just over 350,000. There's another component of the story that we'll get to in a second, like why, considering everything that's happening in the country, is the government focusing on this issue? And look, Trump's sons love to do this type of hunting.
They're trophy hunters. And it was also an Obama thing. So right, spirit of I want to get rid of everything that Obama did, it fits that category as well.
He's got a little card in his wallet next to his bed that says things Obama did. And he's just going through them one by one because he just didn't like the fact that Obama made fun of him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
But anyone with a conscience can't be good with this. These animals are endangered. Elephants are being poached. They're being hunted relentlessly by people who don't give a shit about the law. And they are losing habitat. You know, they're losing habitat to us. We're beginning to eliminate their habitat on a scale that reduces them to smaller and smaller amounts of acreage for them to roam and to live. And as a result, that pens them in. And by being penned in, now with helicopters, with infrared scopes, they are hunted. And they're hunted in brutal ways. Oftentimes, elephants, an entire herd of elephants will be killed because the watering hole is poisoned by poachers. Why? Because they want the ivory. It is a, there is a brutality to it that shows the darkest of hearts. And I can't imagine being part of a country that would sanction this in this way. And by the way, just on the documentation, I love that documentation thing because so much money is paid for this. You know, these rich kids like the Trumps who go over there and trophy hunt.
Let's go to their pictures, by the way, while Mark makes his point.
To look at these pictures.
They can get the documentation because for $250,000, they'll draft any document you want.
That's an elephant tail that Donald Trump Jr. is holding with bullets around his waist and a knife, and he looks like it's just sick.
It's despicable. And these are great sentient creatures who are highly social, as you know, and already, as I say, their habitat, delicate as it is, has been awfully disturbed. And what kind of insecure displaced machismo do you need for this shit?
No, it's true. Horrible. And there are people that wake up every day in this world raising money for conservation, and thankfully people giving money for conservation. That to do this in the name of some kind of conservation is as disingenuous as, you know, forget that money that you get for this. And other people, if they know that they're short $1 million, you'll be able to raise $1 million in the world to save the savannah, to save the African elephants. And it does say so much about the man who's our president that he raised, in my opinion, raised kids who can smile in front of a dead animal like that and hold a piece of its body. It's just, I don't understand it. Yeah. It's really bad. And, sorry, one little piece of irony is in Zimbabwe today, it was agreed that there's a way now to get Robert Mugabe, the lifelong dictator cum president, out of that country with safe passage.
Yeah.
But you can. This is a man who has killed and impoverished generations of Zimbabweans since it became Zimbabwe after Rhodesia. He has destroyed that country, but he can go out alive with safe passage and have a happy landing. But our president said, no, you can bring the head of an elephant home or the foot of an elephant or whatever it is. It's terrible.
I'm sorry to leave you guys with that story before we go to break, but we do have to go to break. When we come back, I want to say lighter news, maybe. No, not lighter news, but to come back. Hey, everyone, welcome back to TYT. I lied to you before we went to break. We are going to get to lighter stuff, sure. But it's still important, so you will enjoy it. But before we get to all of that, a few TYT lives. The Mad Lib, I'm sorry, let me start with Tom Zawaki, because he makes a great point that I unfortunately forgot to mention in the story. He said, you forgot to mention individuals will not be able to deduct state taxes. Corporations will under this proposal.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
No, look, it's a corporate money grab. Yeah. We identified it as a corporate money grab before any of the specifics were out. I mean, just when they were even talking about it, and this is why Anna made a very good point when she was talking about the fact that Democrats back this also in some, because the corporate overlords have asked this of them for year after year after year. You know, they're pounded on by these lobbyists. Mark, finally, these lobbyists are going to get their way.
When you're reaching for that cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving, the corporations are going to, this is what I just thought of this, they're going to be reaching into your wallets, into your pockets and pulling money out.
I wish he had used the word wallet instead of pocket. No one says pocketbook.
No one says pocketbook.
No one. Yeah, right. The Mad Lib says Republicans forgot to make guns.
My mom says pocketbook, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Republicans, my political science textbooks would say pocketbook.
When I was going to school. Well, people, the old political max is people vote their pocketbook.
Yes.
Right. It's a pocketbook issue. It's used now just sort of generically, but you're right. It does sound weird.
It does. The Mad Lib says Republicans forgot to make guns harder to get as they're screwing over regular Americans with their Sheriff of Nottingham style taxation. And Nomiki Konst tweeted to us about something that we did want to mention as well. Keystone Pipeline leaks 210,000 gallons of oil in South Dakota. You had that story.
I did, but give it to Nomiki if you want.
All right, Nomiki, thank you.
I was about to say, and then, all of a sudden, Nomiki writes.
Yeah. The story broke during break, and we wanted to make sure you guys were aware. Obviously, we didn't have a chance to really dig into it.
It's not the Keystone Pipeline. It's a sister pipeline in South Dakota, over 210,000 gallons. And the timing of it is amazing because it's days before a decision is supposed to be reached on Keystone. So maybe it's divine intervention in some way.
Although with this crew, I don't know that it'll have any.
No, it won't. Of course it won't.
All right. A sheriff in Texas is grabbing headlines after he made it very clear on social media that he wanted to go after an individual who had a very large bumper sticker, graphic sticker on their car that antagonized Trump supporters. Now, this is in Ford Bend, Texas. As you can imagine, the majority of people in that area did vote in favor
Hillary
of Donald
country,
Trump.
Yeah. Ford Bend, are you kidding?
And this picture of a pickup truck was posted by Sheriff Troy Nels, and it said the following. Let's take a look at the photo. All right.
I can't
expletive
make that
out. Trump and expletive you for voting for him. Okay, so someone in Texas felt courageous enough to put that on their car, and Sheriff Troy Nels was not amused. So he posts on social media the following. If you know who owns this truck, or if it's yours, I would like to discuss it with you. Our prosecutor has informed us she would accept disorderly conduct charges regarding it, but I feel we could come to an agreement regarding a modification to it. Now, that post was, I'm sure, met with supporters, but also met with individuals who are concerned about First Amendment rights. And so the post, according to reports, was removed Thursday as a First Amendment controversy swirled around Nels. Now, he backpedaled a little bit. And he said, no, I was just saying I'm gonna prosecute the guy. That was what I was saying. The objective of the post was to find the owner slash driver of the truck and have a conversation with them in order to prevent a potential altercation between the truck driver and those offended by the message.
Wow, that's real service.
It's a peacekeeping mission.
Yeah.
Right. Since the owner of the truck has been identified, the sheriff took down the post due to the hate messages and he's referring to the sheriff, hate messages he has been receiving toward his wife and children. The sheriff will not be commenting on the matter further. Now, the person who actually spoke to the press and identified themselves was a woman, not a man. And look, I don't want her to face any harassment, so I'm just going to leave her name out of it. But she's like, no, I'm a not going to take it down.
Women are so much stronger in so many
ways. Right.
There's, by the way, there are case studies regarding similar issues. It is a violation of the First Amendment to go after someone for that kind of bumper sticker. The ACLU cited a 1971 Supreme Court decision, Cohen v. California, in which the high court overturned a man's disturbing the peace conviction after he had gone to a courthouse in Los Angeles wearing a jacket that said F the draft.
Yeah. I mean, to Nell's credit here, though, it sounds like he was admonished reasonably, and he backpedaled and did what was right. I mean, it was a stupid post, but just as stupid is going after the man's wife and children.
I absolutely agree.
If you disagree with him, don't go after his wife and children. You know, tell him you disagree with him. Tell him in whatever terms you want, but don't threaten his wife and children and put hate toward them. And he did, I probably don't agree with Sheriff Nels on much, but he did, it sounds like, do the right thing here.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
And the legal thing, too. But,
the legal thing, exactly. Yeah. Now, I also want to note that maybe he did the right thing because he realizes the right thing to do. He's also exploring a primary challenge to Republican Congressman Pete Olson in the 22nd District. And so maybe he's like, this is not
this isn't
controversy.
The issue I want to be known for.
Exactly.
Well, although if you want to win, Sheriff, just keep pounding that bumper sticker because that'll probably help you against Pete Olson.
Yeah. So anyway, big ups to the woman who felt confident enough to A, put that bumper sticker on her car, and B, keep it up following the story.
She should talk to the woman who flipped the presidential motorcade off.
The one who lost her job.
Yeah,
she lost her
job. The two of them should have like a meet and greet, you know?
All right, guys. Thank you so much to Michael for joining us in hour one. In hour two, we will have Mark Thompson join as well. But one of the women who was victimized by Harvey Weinstein will also join us, not only to share her story, but to cover the news. So looking forward to that. Please stick around. We'll be right back after the break.
Thanks.